Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is the phone number. We're here till 1 o'clock. Probably the last time we're going to be doing this till 1 o'clock. And then, of course, Maggie and Bart will be coming your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses. Only at ShopRite. Carl Banks is brought to you by your local New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Kia dealer. By Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. By GEICO, 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. By Digital Ally, a proud partner of MetLife Stadium. Capture the truth. The two-time Super Bowl champion, our good buddy number 58, the Hall of Fame nominee. May I throw that in?
Semi-finalist.
How about that, yes. Carl Banks?
Yeah. So why is this the last time you'll be on till 1?
Well, because next week.
Why?
Next week we're on till 2.
Oh, you're on till 2.
That's next right. week.
I don't know if you heard, Mike is doing his final afternoon drive show.
And after that, it's anybody's guess.
So Mike's final afternoon show.
Is now. Yes. Is today.
Today.
Is today.
Yes.
I've said my goodbyes once already.
Yeah, we did too.
Well, yeah.
We honored him. We did a lot of things. Right. So I guess he just does the show and appears periodically now, right?
Well, I think he's doing a daily show at like 6 o'clock.
Something like that.
On the app?
No, on the fan.
I think yeah.
Cool. So he's still going to be around. He's just not doing the afternoon drive show.
Right.
Okay.
That's the plan of attack from what I understand. At least that's the way Mike explained it.
Okay.
That's how we get information sometimes.
So now it's going to be till 2.
Till it's going to be
next week.
Next week.
Next week.
Next week till 2.
And the midday show going forward will also be 10 to 2.
Look at that. You just broke some news, Joe.
Okay. Right?
That the midday show will be 10 to
2. Well, that's true. I mean,
go.
Now we know. Now,
all right.
Now we know.
Who will be doing the midday show? After next week,
there's still that's everything's still floating in the air right now, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of things floating.
It's fluid.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's floating in the air, but it's floating somewhere.
It's floating somewhere. By the way, can I say something completely unrelated? But you'll appreciate this, Carl. Ernie just sent me a story from Forbes. Forbes seems pretty reliable. Well, basically, this guy says Steve Cohen, the new owner of the Mets, he's basically going to run the team immediately. Like, there is
really?
Not yet.
Oh, my
this
God.
This five-year thing is...
Wait, who broke that story?
Tiki Barber!
Tiki Barber.
My favorite football player of all time.
Well, favorite Giant.
No. He is my favorite for now.
Boy, he caught some heat, right? The morning show wanted to get him on to try to snag him on that, but he stuck by his guns.
And he turned out to be right.
He turned out to be so right. That's why he is my favorite football player. Eventually,
insider.
He'll go back to just being, Tiki.
You know, Tiki Barber knows how to work a room, too.
Oh,
like, people don't know.
We know.
He's well-connected.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what Tiki's doing, too, which is very classy of him? He is not spiking the football.
Of course he does.
He's being very like, have source.
Well, he never spiked it. He would always, like, kind of like
exactly.
just,
yeah.
You know.
And that's
like,
what
like he's been there before, right?
He did the Barry Sanders deal.
He didn't take the sports route. Hey, I broke this, and on this day I broke this.
Right.
Hey, look, I was at a dinner party. He was at my house at Thanksgiving.
And I'm going to give him another prop. Maybe someday Saquon Barkley will be as good as him.
Well, let's hope so.
There you go.
That's a lofty goal to achieve.
There you go.
I thought he was better last week, Saquon, if we're looking for mini positives.
He was better.
But let's get to this quarterback situation because this is – I mean, it's not stunning that a quarterback got hurt and the backup's going to start, but – what do you think about the fact that Monday night it's 99% likely that Eli Manning is back under center for this team?
Well, if you got to have a backup replace your starter, I darn sure warrant Eli as
that
guy.
Good.
Yeah, he's got a guy. You got a guy who's seen it all, commanded an offense, durable, reliable, smart. I don't think there's another backup right now playing that. Or that has to be, forced into duty, that has the experience that he has and kind of seen it all. So I think it's great. I'm excited for Eli. I think we talked to him yesterday and he's super excited to be back there too because he said it was a little, he admitted it's difficult, preparing and not being able to go out and play. And he talked a little bit about on our Giants First and 10 show on MSG, he talked about how he could see things, from where he was sitting, not a starter, but he couldn't really give a receiver any coaching because he said, I can't tell Evan Engram how to run a route you know, how to finish a route, because that may not be how Daniel wants him to run it.
Right, right.
So he said he saw a lot of things that, you know, he, if he's the quarterback, he handles things a little bit differently. But he said that's every quarterback. You know, every quarterback has the way they want to deliver the ball. They have a way where they want receivers to be. And he said he was excited about coaching them up again. You know, he said one of the things that he realized is that he, coaching is not in his future from sitting there. But he's like, being an active participant and being able to coach guys up in the way he wants them to do certain things, he said he missed it and he felt great about doing that this week, or doing it this week.
Right.
Do you think, because, I mean, it's not a knock. Well, maybe it is a knock on Eli. I don't think he's going to get another opportunity to start around the league next year. I think that if he wants to continue his career, he'd probably have to be a backup. And maybe it would even be here, as awkward as that even feels, that he would stay here as a backup. Do you get the sense over the last 2 months that it is something he grew to accept and is comfortable with, that he may actually extend his career by staying on as a backup for a couple of years?
Bob was a little tempted to ask him about his future, but we just didn't, because it's, you know, he's dealing with this year. And he's happy to be back. And, who knows? You know, the quarterback carousel in the NFL is very crazy.
There's one other thing, and I know this is tough for you to relate to on this, because you're a Hall of Fame semifinalist, right? Mm-hmm. So all these people are going to look at your stats. Now, football stats, what does it mean, right? Yeah, no. But they can analyze all these things. Would you care about the win-loss record if you were a quarterback? Because when Eli got pulled.
I think they do.
So, because he's 500 right now.
They pulled him at 500.
Yeah.
And I joked and said they did him a favor.
Right.
By, you know, letting him. But the body of work, and see, the people, so interesting, because people are caught up on stats that are meaningless.
Oh, yeah.
In hindsight. They don't have the luxury of either seeing a player or watching him in certain situations to see exactly how good that player is. But then they'll look and say, well, you know, the Dallas Cowboys got the number one offense in football. Well, they stunk on Monday Night Football, but if they finish the season rated where they are offensively, 4 years from now, somebody will say, well, you know, Dallas in 2019, they were the number one offense in football.
You know what, Carl? There's only one stat that matters in
wins.
Football. That's it. There's nothing else.
Super Bowls,
but that's
championships,
winning games.
But that's the stat that I'm even questioning.
No, I understand. Like, yeah. No, I know you are.
I don't think he'll ever admit, oh yeah, that bothers me, but. There's a good chance they're going to lose Monday. Let's be fair. There's a very good chance they're going to lose. There is a really good chance Eli Manning's going to finish his career with a record under 500.
But at this point, I don't think it matters to him.
Okay.
What matters to him is that he's given a chance to try to win. He doesn't play free safety. He doesn't play linebacker. He doesn't play tight end. He doesn't play tackle. He plays quarterback. And his job is to get the team going in the right direction, execute the offense, get the line all communicating. And he will help this offensive line because of his experience, right? So he wants to try to give them the best chance to win. And when it's all said and done, when the game is over on Monday night, it's a win or a loss. And maybe he reflects on it then. But I think he's going to cherish and relish the opportunity to try to get a win. He, you know, obviously he wants to be over 500.
Sure.
But he doesn't control all of the variables. He's going to do what he can do, and I can assure you he's going to move the offense pretty good. Will it be enough? We don't know. But he's going to go out, and he's got a few games left. If Daniel Jones is out for the rest of the season, he's going to do everything he can to get more wins than losses on his career record.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Carl Banks. You look at the NFC East right now, it's a disaster. I mean, the Giants could still win
it's
it, can't
the
they?
Least. I think they're one game away, one game out of being able to win. They're totally eliminated? Yeah. Yeah. Winning the division.
They would need everything to break right, including winning every game.
But have to win every game. Dallas would have to lose every game, you know, all of that. That would have to happen.
I mean, but the state of this division just doesn't match up with the talent.
Mm.
in it. Like between Dallas and Philadelphia.
Well, those two teams should be better,
right,
clearly.
Right, right.
I'm just telling you that, like, that those are that talent stacks up with any team in any division. I mean, they've got quarterback, running back, defense, defensive line. They've got enough to compete in
Except
any other division.
They don't have a head coach, and they haven't at Dallas, and they haven't had a head coach for 8-9 years, and that's their problem. I mean, let's be real.
I'm not one to talk about a team's problems without looking in the mirror. But, you know,
well, the Giants have many more problems. But I would say this to Joe: I think it's almost
the Giants
worse.
Going to get a new coach too.
Well, it's almost worse to be a Cowboy fan than a Giant fan, because as a Giant fan, you have a terrible head coach. You don't have a good enough roster. The Cowboys have a roster.
And you got a rookie quarterback.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have a roster. When you look at the quarterback, the line, the running back,
the
talent on defense.
Top offense in the league.
Yeah.
You're right. And I think that makes it more frustrating that you look at this roster and say, why the hell are they not with New Orleans and San Francisco and Seattle? They can't be 6-7. Yeah. I think in a way it makes it worse.
And a defense that I think started reading their own press clippings. Because when the Dallas Cowboy defense is locked in, there's nobody better. They're fast. They're physical. I haven't seen them miss so many tackles during the course of a season. They look like a completely different team. I know that, you know, defensively they have been well coached, but I don't know if it's a matter of them, you know, reading their own press clippings. You know, they are a good team. Very good defense. I mean, their defensive line, I put them up against anybody, but they're not playing that way. They're linebackers, fast-flowing playmakers, not playing that way, and they miss a ton of tackles.
I got to ask you a weird question, because this is so common in basketball, baseball, and hockey, where you say, you know what, this team's underachieving, let's change the manager in the middle of the year, and sometimes it works. Team goes out and wins a World Series. It happens. NBA, team gets to a finals, goes on a playoff run. It is so common for a good team, an underachieving team, to change coaches and it work. Is it crazy to say, you know what, they got to try something? Just get rid of Jason Garrett, promote Chris Richard, say, all right, you're the guy, and try anything to spark this mess? What are your thoughts on
that?
The
interesting thing was Troy Aikman brought it up. He's like, who on the staff is going to inspire these guys to be better than they are? Because every position group is failing. You know, so it's not like a new voice in the room that's been in the room every day, that's been fighting to try to get these guys to play, is going to change anything.
But maybe it does, because it's a voice that becomes louder. That voice now has more authority. That doesn't work, you tell me.
Jason Witten's got a loud voice because he's been screaming at everybody every game.
We've seen that.
So I don't think screaming is what they need. They need to be inspired. And if you got coaches that are all trying to do that now, and no position group, no coordination is really jumping off the chart, how can you say you're going to promote an offensive coordinator when, the numbers say one thing, but the performance says something else?
You know, watching the Cowboys the last 2 weeks on Thanksgiving and then last night, both games, very similar games. They got the opening kickoff against Buffalo, went right down the field, took the lead. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they did the same thing. They had a 17-play, 9-minute drive.
Yeah.
Right down the field. Stuck it in the air. They hit two or three. I think it was three third and tens.
Sure.
They go in. They finally stick it in the end zone. And then after that, they missed it. They fell behind. Maher missed it. That's another thing that's killed them this year. Their field goal kicker's been terrible.
Just having this conversation this morning with Gary Myers. There's got to be something going on with the kickers, because it's not isolated across the league.
No question about it.
There's been so many misses, and I don't know if it's because the extra points are back, but it is. I would say that the balls were juiced or something. If something's going on,
right.
But the inconsistency of kickers across the league.
No question.
There's something different about. Well, I mean, they're all kicking the same footballs. They're kicking the same distance. Whatever it is, how can they become so inconsistent?
Yep.
Even on kickoffs.
No,
I know, kicking it out of bounds like we saw.
100%.
That's why, you know, we were talking about the Ravens last week. The first thing that jumped out to me, and I brought it up to Joe, is they got a kicker that's not being affected, and it's Justin Tucker. And you know that's going to make a difference. At some point in the playoffs, that's going to be the difference, because even the Patriots are dealing with it. They have five different place kickers, whatever it is. So I don't know if it's just this perfect storm of incompetence. Vinatieri got old. There's a lot of injuries. But there is Justin Tucker standing there looking pretty good.
Well, just like Vinatieri, he's the mark of excellence, right? Yeah. But we've seen more consistency across kicking. There was always that one or two guys that were AUT-O-matic.
Right.
The rest of this stuff, it's always been some consistency. It is inconsistent across the league.
Look at Aldrick Rosas. Yep. For the Giants.
There's a Pro Bowler last year, and next thing you know, it's like, did they all go to a place and get a spell put on us? Because it just it doesn't make sense, the amount of missed kicks, blown kickoff, blown kickoffs, missed field goals, missed extra points. There used to be a standard of, like, extra points, you had to be 98%. Field goals within, you know, like 35 yards, you had to be, like, 90%. Now it's all over the map across the league.
It is crazy.
You know, the other thing, too, it's look, in the old days, Carl, most teams basically had one kicker for years.
Yeah.
For years. Now, I mean, these guys come and go like the wind.
Well, and it's no excuse. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't still be there for years.
Well,
but
you would think.
Consistency is the reason.
I know money's a factor, too.
Well, yes and no. I'm not sure kickers are breaking the bank for anybody. But I just think that the consistency, that's probably why you see so many teams change. They look at these guys and, like, can't even get the ball. It used to be kick the ball into the end zone or kick it to – they have no – they're all over the place.
Yeah. It's one of the storylines of the season is how bad the kicking's been.
It's something I love to find out if they can interview five or six kickers, 10 kickers.
Find out what it is.
And find out what's different. Why are you not kicking the ball well? Why isn't anyone else kicking the ball well?
It's a weird thing.
It has been. It's so true, though.
We've got more coming up with Carl Banks. We'll get more into the Giants, all the issues they're running into as they get set for a Monday night game with the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you want to bet on that game, which gives you a nice big giant money line, I did not bet the Nick money line last night.
Don't,
thank God.
And don't put your name on the application as professional football player if you bet.
No, that we've learned that after the kid got suspended for a year and a half, no and he bet Nick, against his own team.
No more Nick money line.
No, I'm done. I'm retiring until they, you know, hire a new head coach, and I'll get inspired again. All right, so we are close to the conclusion of this season. The Giants are 2-10. They're awful. I think we all realize the head coach isn't very good and should be gone at the end of the year. And a part of why I think that, and I think a lot of Giant fans think that, is there hasn't been a lot of progress. So I ask you, as a guy that's watched every second, talks to these guys occasionally, who has made progress? Like, are they guys where you'd say, but Evan, he's made, like DeAndre Baker, who plays half the snaps now. Are there guys
quarterback
that you feel have made progress?
Well, when you're going through a bad season, there's so much going wrong. It's just difficult to just pinpoint progress, right? But I would say, you know, when you look at the young quarterback, he has progressed. He's doing things each week because he's seeing it new each week. I'd say Darius Slayton. He's done a great job.
That's
a
good one.
You know, from where he's drafted to where he's playing right now.
Looks like a very good pick by Gettleman.
Yeah.
Yep. Fifth round, I think.
I think you're seeing where there's some improvement there. Well, there's where there's some step backs, there is some improvement in Will Hernandez. But they're just not cohesive.
Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence is doing a good job. There are a lot. I mean, you can look in. If you had to break down film, which you'll do in the offseason, you'll see a lot of positive plays. You'll see a lot of guys doing some positive things, but it's not in an effort to win, and it's not consistent enough.
Right.
So some of it you chalk up to being rookies, and you say, okay, these are some things to build on. But it's just it's difficult. I will, you know, I'll say there's been some progress when you break them down individually, but it's just not enough. You know, to really say, boy, this guy is the next coming of X, Y, and Z because they're not impacting games the way they should. But that's a function of how the team is playing right now.
Where are you on Baker? Because first-round pick, Edelman traded up for him. He's not playing as much now with Sam Beal actually getting a chance to play. We've learned that Sam Beal is a human being who exists for a while. We weren't sure. Where do you stand on Baker?
Can I say something about Baker, too, before you say that? And I've heard, okay, and I don't know what you put any stock in this, that he's not exactly, you know, the best guy in the locker room, that the guy thinks he's maybe a little more than he should be. Is that fair to say?
Well, I'm not in the locker room.
Okay.
But given his inconsistencies, I would say he's, you know, he's got a ways to go. How do I personally feel about him? I feel that he's got a tremendous upside. Whether he achieves that upside is up to him.
Right, right.
And up to the way he's developed.
Now,
I can't go beyond that, and I'm not going to, you know, give a ringing endorsement. But I think he is a first-round talent. I think he's got all the ability in the world. The next step for him is applying it and how he gets developed. That's as much as I can say about it, because I think it's going to have to be a joint effort to get the most out of the kid. And the one thing about players that come out in the draft, they always have negatives. Not one guy comes out with a clean bill of health. And either you dispel those by the way you play, or it becomes, I told you so. I told you the guy was this. I told you the guy was that. I told you the guy doesn't hustle and play. So you either dispel those and prove your worth as a first-round draft choice or exceed that, or you play into it, and then everybody looks crazy. Mm. But there's no such thing. If you evaluate a player as a first-round talent and most teams have him there, there's going to be check marks. There's going to be dings, and it's how you work with that player to make sure he doesn't, those things don't become the major focal point. You can't microwave Pro Bowl players. You got to work with them. You got to get them going. You got to appeal to the things that motivate them.
I would hope that this has been a humbling experience for him.
Well, the thing about it is you make so much money. The only, you know, what is humbling? If
getting beat?
Yeah, I was going to say, if getting beat doesn't bother you.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're laissez-faire about your accountability, and I'm not saying that this is the case with the young man, but I've been around players where none of that mattered. You know, and they just could care less. And
how is
just,
that possible, though, as a competitive athlete?
Bro, I got to tell you,
they only
seen
care
it.
About the money? Is that really what it comes down to?
I've seen it, and I had a guy that I played with. He was a Notre Dame kid, defensive back from when I was in Washington. He could care less.
Mm.
I mean, and that was probably the beginning of it, but it's, you see it each and every year. What matters to these kids are it's just different, you know, and money is one thing, and you just hope that you can get them on day one to really get, you know, let's make you a pro. Let's make you be everything that your ability is. And it's on every team. You know, some teams get the most of their players, some don't. And the ones that don't, you see those players bounce around a little bit, either get better or they just wash out of the league. But it's not necessarily a failure in terms of how they were drafted. If they were all, you know, kind of, if it was a consensus that this guy is ranked as a first-round draft choice, and once you get him in the building, he's yours.
Mm.
You know, and you got to make sure that he can be the best that he can be.
Mm. Should Jack Rabbit travel? Let me get the phrase right. Should he travel? Should Jack Rabbit travel? Because Jack Rabbit likes to travel.
I don't see a problem with it. He's not. Look, we talked about this Monday. They don't let him travel without help. You know, he's got some help when he travels. But if he's your best cover guy, I don't see a problem.
He's definitely their best cover.
Oh, yeah. When he's got to take the best receiver now.
That?
I don't call their defense, so I don't know.
You may
know,
next year, because I don't think Betcher will.
I don't know what their construct
you
is.
You want to be a coach?
I don't know what their construct is.
Is that a complete no?
I love hanging out with you guys. So.
No, would you want to be a coach? I've
thought about that many times. But
would you agree with this statement? Carl Banks has a better chance of coaching this defense next year than James Betcher does.
I do not agree with that.
Oh, Joe, that's a fair statement.
I do not.
If you were approached by an NFL team, I'm serious. I mean, I know you haven't coached, but if you were approached by an NFL team and they said, "Look, you know, we're a great defensive player. You're certainly like you're in consideration for the Hall of Fame. You played on arguably the best linebacking group ever. I mean, you, LT, and Harry. It doesn't get much better than that. I mean, let's be real, okay? But if somebody approached you and said, "Look, we want you to be our defensive coordinator. You know, the numbers were right financially." Mm-hmm. Would you do it?
I would recommend Pepper Johnson.
Would you really?
I would recommend Pepper Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised about that.
I'm not.
Is he you really? I know he's coached.
He's
I know
a hell
he
of a coach.
Coach.
He's
I know he's
a
coach.
Great defensive mind.
Where is he now?
He's in the XFL right now with the LA team. If I had to recommend one guy to turn a team around defensively, it would be Pepper Johnson.
Wow. That's interesting.
You know, we talk, we share a lot of the same views. He's in it. Could I coach? Yeah, I could coach.
Right.
But,
And you'd get respect because you got the pelts. You know, you got the pelts on the
wall. Well, there's a way to get respect.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the thing that gets respect out of modern players, though.
Well, no, you can get respect out of modern players.
No, I think you can get it by your personality, but I don't know if
they win. Does it your resume help, though, going in?
It does, as long as you're not full of crap.
Right. No, I didn't mean, okay.
You know, if you're not selling BS, then guys are going to respect it. And that's what has always made guys like Bill Belichick and Romeo Crennel and Al Groh. They were great teachers. They knew what they were doing. They held players accountable. They gave them techniques that worked. And players wanted to do it. So, yeah, if anybody asked me, if I would recommend Pepper Johnson in a heartbeat. He's the guy I think that would connect. And he, you know, you'd see fundamentally sound football.
How much, because obviously the Giant defense has been terrible this year, right? That's a nice, easy statement we all agree with.
Yep.
How much of it is the talent and how much of it is the system and the execution of the system?
Or the coaching.
And the strength of coaching. Well, yeah.
They have better talent than they had last year.
Okay.
Okay. So they should be improved. They have not.
And why is that? Why haven't they
improved? So I think it's combination. I think it's player performance ultimately, and it's how the scheme and the players are compatible. And what adjustments are made to make sure that you're getting the most of your players' abilities? Like I said, and you know, I'm not saying anything that I haven't said on air during a broadcast or answering questions to fans. But when you see the same things repeat themselves for 2 years, then there's something wrong. It is. I mean, if you can't find out how to stop a crossing route, can't find out how to take away a seam route, then you got a problem, you know, and you got to adjust it. You got to do a better job. And it's players and it's coaches. They both have to do a better job. But when you see it for 2 years running, then schematically, you got to make adjustments. It's just that simple because you cannot fire 11 players. You got what you got. And I will say that the talent is better. It's gotta perform better. You gotta be able to address things that because it the NFL is all about exploitation. If you're weak at something, don't think they're gonna give you a week off.
Right.
They're gonna keep coming and coming and coming. And if you fail to stop it or do anything to deter it, then that's on you. You know, you can't say, well, I don't have the right players. Well, you got to get the guys you got ready to go. That's how it works in the NFL. If you can't stop something because you don't have an all-pro player, well, make the next guy an all-pro, you know? But it's both. It's player and it's coaching. But when you are plagued with the same thing over and over again, you've got to make adjustments. And I'm going to say this, and I should have prefaced this, I have no disrespect for James Betcher. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a smart young guy. I just wish that there were more adjustments and I wish that there were better execution.
Hmm.
That's player and coaching. So, but it is what it is. It is what we see. So I can't sugarcoat that.
No, I mean,
you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not killing the guy, the coach. I like him and I think he's a smart guy. I just wish things were different.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they wouldn't exploit Grant Haley in the slot every single week
right.
without giving him any help. I don't know. I don't talk to him about why that doesn't happen. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe they're trying and the players aren't executing.
Mm.
So I'm not going to bash him. I'm just telling you what I see.
Sure.
And it could be, and I know it is, it's a combination of player and coaching. They both got to do a better job.
And that's why next year is going to be different coaches and different players. Not completely different players, but they've got cap room, and this roster is going
to
look different.
Well, they're going to continue to upgrade. They're not tossing guys out that have ability. I can't speak on whether what's going to happen, you know, what decisions are going to be made, but whatever it's going to be, it's going to be.
They may toss guys out with ability because of financial reasons, like a Janoris Jenkins.
That always happens.
Clearly has ability, but financially he may not be back.
Here's the thing that you have with a Jackrabbit. What's behind him? Who's the guy on the rise?
Well, that's scary.
You see what I'm saying? You would think that.
Who? Corey Ballantyne?
I got hope for Ballantyne, too.
Okay.
Hope is both one guys. Thing. No, he's a competitive kid.
Julian Love, but learning. I guess he's a safety Julian Love, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, they're going to continue to look to upgrade.
Oh, that's definitely.
Jabril Peppers has been a bright spot for them.
Yeah.
So they'll look to upgrade. Marcus Golden.
Yeah,
he's been a bright spot for them.
He's been good, yeah. Marcus Golden.
You know, so there are some things there. The cupboard isn't bare. They put some stuff in it this past offseason. That's why I say they should be better. They have better talent than they had last year. The kid who's hurt, the linebacker.
Ryan Connolly.
Connolly's going to be
good.
A good football player for them.
Yeah.
So there's some.
Connolly looks good, yep.
Right. So there's some pro players on the roster, and I just, you know, obviously I'm a Giant fan, so I want them to be better.
No, I get it.
But, you know, it is what it is. It is what you see.
I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you. We're here with the great Carl Banks. If there was going to be a coaching change, would you say, you know what? I think we got to go with somebody now that's got some kind of a resume as a proven head coach in the league. Would you look to go in that direction, or would you not?
Hypothetically?
Yes.
If you have to change a coach, I think you go with someone that's proven. Or let me just say this, too. A head coach is only as good as the staff he puts together, too. You've got to make sure that whoever you take has a good staff so that everybody's on the same page. I would say if there was a change somewhere, you'd probably look for experience.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
And not simply because of
I'm out of the conversation at this point.
No, I'm
adding it for you.
No.
I'm just saying it.
Right. But I'm asking you because I find
I would say experience is a very important thing in this market.
Because I find it hard to believe that he would go with a first-time head coach, Mara. And I find it hard to believe he would go with another guy similar to what Shermer was, who had been a coach before but had no winning track record. You know what I mean?
I'm out of the conversation, but hypothetically, I gave you my answer.
Of course.
No, I can't comment beyond that, but I would just tell you experience, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
The Giants are playing a game Monday against an Eagle team they never seem to beat. Let's get the keys to the local game. They're brought to you by your New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Kia dealers. Go to KiaDealers.com to see what's possible in quality, style, and dependability. Meet rugged performance. The Eagles are a mess right now. I mean, they blew a lead against the Dolphins. They desperately need a win. What are the keys to the Giants pulling off this upset?
I think the Giants have to run the football. They've had success, and the Eagles are top run defense. They give up a lot of plays down the field, but I think the Giants have to be able to run the football. They've done it against the Eagles. I think with Eli Manning kind of orchestrating everything, you should see some production. Saquon Barkley's had great games against the Eagles, so I would say running the football defensively, man, it's about giving up the explosive plays. They cannot afford to give
every
up explosive plays.
Every week they give
plays.
Up explosive
yeah.
plays.
Yeah.
Two or three usually.
Yeah. I don't know if they lead the league, but they're probably in the top two or three in, you know, big plays over 30 yards.
Mm.
So they can afford to do that.
Who is presenting you for the Hall of Fame? Gary Myers?
That's hope. I'm very hopeful there.
Do you have like a guy who's trying to plead the case for you? You know, what I mean?
Would.
Isn't that generally
I think
what they
Gary.
Know?
Yes, I think Gary is Gary and Glauber.
Or
I
Bob
believe.
Glauber.
One
right.
of those two.
Those
I think it's Gary though.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully I'm in the room and they can present the case.
Well, like I'll say this, Carl, because I watched you play. I watched your whole career. You were a tremendous player. I think you get a little shortchanged because you played with. You know, two of the great linebackers of all time. You're probably the greatest defensive player ever, and another Hall of Famer in Harry Carson.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say about Carl, probably the best game Carl ever had, and to me this is an indictment of, or whatever the right word is, of how great a player he was. The best play game you ever had was probably the Super Bowl against the Broncos.
Yeah.
You could have easily. I know Phil got it. And
Phil said that. Phil said it last week. Yeah. You could have won that MVP.
That was historic performance by Phil. But you were unbelievable in that game. And so the best game you ever had and you were a tremendous player, was in the biggest game.
Yeah, if you
want to
have that, you want to have it in the biggest stage.
For that, Carl.
And you know, it's I don't like making the case for myself. I think, you know, having played with Lawrence and Harry and being playing to a standard,
right.
That they approved of, and really having a role that played at their level, tells me all I need. And then, you know, the fact that I was nominated, or I'm on the all-decade team of the 1980s, and you look at that group.
Pretty impressive.
You know, I think I did a pretty damn good job on the field. So whatever happens, it's a win-win.
Just remember this.
If you got my vote. I know that's worth nothing, but you have mine.
If you don't get in, it's Gary Meyer's fault. Okay?
No, it's not.
It's not your fault. It's his fault. He didn't present you well enough. So, Gary, no pressure, pal. No pressure, but get it done. Get it done.
Want to see Banks in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
I would like that, too.
And you know what that means, Carl?
What?
You charge Turnoff more.
That's right.
I wouldn't. He wouldn't pay it.
Well,
anyway.
You know what? If
he's going a different direction.
There is a possibility. Can I say this? There's a possibility that if you're going to continue doing our show going forward into next season,
right?
Okay, that it could be a little different, and in a situation where you would have to get paid more money because it would be a little more.
Well, here's the thing.
You understand what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. But here's the thing.
You know
I went and sat. I sat with Chernoff, and I'm like, I'm reading in the newspaper all of these different candidates
for these different jobs.
I'm like, I haven't seen my damn name floated around anywhere.
Well, you're looking to be.
And he just looked at me.
A show host now.
But he looked at me and says, "Well, do you want to do it? Can I afford you?"
The first thing he meant,
just the fact that I'm not even mentioned. Yeah, the fact I'm like, you're getting me free now.
Can I afford you?
Right, he's getting me free.
Do it for nothing?
Well, I'm coming courtesy of Kia, and now you got to pay me. Like, well, I don't know about that. So I'm like, at least put my name in the mix. You didn't even ask if I was interested.
Yeah, like, just follow, like George Young always said, follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money. Yeah.
Carl, have a great weekend.
Thank you, man. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Great,
man.
Carl Banks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.